May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 24. Why should the children of a king go mourning all their days? Great Comforter, descend and bring some tokens of thy grace. Number 24.
Together from God's holy word, Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapters 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the work of thine hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. May God bless that reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Most merciful, kind and gracious Lord God in heaven, we come at the evening hour of thy day. Oh, we come seeking a portion for our souls this night. For if spared, we have another week lying before us. Oh, we do pray that while we are in thy courts, that there may be that food for our souls, that there may be that strengthening, that, Lord, we may know that refreshing from thy kind hand, that we may be strengthened in the inner man, and, Lord, we may face another week. And we do pray, Lord, that thou bless us as we turn aside this night. And we plead for thy gracious help now as we seek to worship thee. We pray for thy gracious influence in all things, that there may be that flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. May thy Spirit come and work mightily within each heart. There may be that stirring up. Oh, there may be that softening, that preparation, Lord, as only thou canst, and to grant us each that heart made ready, to be that good ground, that the word may be mixed with faith in our hearing. Our hearing may be mixed with faith, and the word may enter in as that good seed. And Lord, we pray that it may be in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Lord, we come confessing how far short we come, our many, many sins and failings and faults, with nothing, Lord, to bring of any worth before Thee. Oh, Lord, but we come and plead for mercy. Do pour out Thy blessing upon us. Now we do ask, Lord, that that precious blood may be sprinkled on our hearts. Oh, to feel an interest in that finished work, to read our title clear to mansions in the sky, to know that peace in believing, to have the fears and doubts removed. Oh, that unbelief, that sin that so much prevails in Thy people, Lord, we confess it with shame, not as a mark of grace, but as our shame. It's our sin, Lord, and we pray that Thou take it from us. Increase our faith. Oh, Lord, we do pray that Thou speak to us this night. Say again to my soul, I am Thy salvation. Oh, Lord, to hear Thy voice, speaking peace, pardon and liberty. Oh, to hear that comforting word. Lord, we pray that Thou would have mercy. Lord, should it be as often it is that we need Thy correction or rebuke, or Thy guidance, Lord, who speak, may we have an ear to hear and a heart to receive, to be found influenced by Thy Spirit and falling under the Word, given that spirit of humility and submission. Lord, these are all things that are outside of ourselves, not there by nature. Oh, that true submission and a humble and a contrite heart. Oh God, Thou wilt not despise. And we pray, Lord, that Thou bestow it on us each. Give us that heart made soft. Lord, we do pray for Thy mercy. We thank Thee for the multitude of Thy mercies that surround us. We think, Lord, of all Thy goodness and kindness to us as we meet here undisturbed from the world. Lord, we have the provision of this building, and we have Thy word. Oh, Lord, how favoured we are. We do thank Thee, Lord, and pray that Thou would ever spare us our liberties in this land, our Protestant liberties, that we may esteem them, not taking them for granted, but pleading that they may be spared to us and the generations following. Lord, we think of Thy people in other parts of the world. Some are suffering persecution, the places of worship destroyed, walking difficult pathways. Oh, do be a very present help to them. Bless them, bless us, bless each of Thy people to the uttermost parts of the earth. Remember us, Lord, we pray, in this dark and evil day. We once more return thanks for Thy goodness to this land and nation. In that referendum, Lord, we do marvel at Thy loving kindness and Thy tender mercies. Lord, we do pray that Thou would go on and be gracious to us still. Oh, may this be the turning in this land. May we look back to that point in time and trace out Thy smiling face, turning this country unto Thee. And all the uncertainty that prevails at present, oh, may Thy people be ever found looking upward, looking unto Jesus. And Lord, Thou art still on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. And we thank Thee for that. We do pray, Lord, that Thou remember our rulers, our royal family, those that reign over us. those in high places in government and those administering the law, the judges of this land. Do put those in high places who fear thy name. O Lord, thy spirit is working. And Lord, often we see no sign outwardly. Yet, Lord, we trust that thou art still with us. We thank thee for that token, and thou hast not left us utterly. And pray that thou go on and be gracious, and build up our churches, and strengthen thy people. And may there be a gathering in, we pray, for thy honour and thy glory. So do remember us, we pray. Remember the children, the young people, growing up in this evil world. Remember parents, Lord, with all their responsibilities in bringing up children, knowing when to say no. Oh, that, Lord, we may be a good example to those around us. We may be those right witnesses. We do pray, Lord, that thou help us then. Hold us up. How we need to be kept day by day. Think of all the evil that abounds. Surely it's there, but for the grace of God, go I. Lord, what maketh us to differ? We have to confess it's all of thy grace. And we plead for it, Lord, more grace. And Lord, we pray for more of that love to be shed abroad in our hearts, and that we may not be ashamed of thee, and that we may be ready to give an account of that hope that's within us, and that we may ever be thankful and not slacking in making mention of the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Oh Lord, we pray that thou would help us in these things. And as opportunity arises, give us those words to speak. So do be with us, we pray. Be with the church and people here. Be with the deacons in all that falls upon them, their duties and responsibilities. Bless the church, Lord. Prosper them here. Gather in from the congregation. Oh, send thy spirit forth. May there be that quickening power. Quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Lord, we pray that thou be with any with hard things, long drawn out trials, afflictions. Think of the elderly friend unable to be here in much weakness. We do pray for her that thou would be with her. Bless her in her soul, we pray. Help those, Lord, attending to her. Be with any, Lord, with mountains before them. Those with choices, decisions. Oh, those with the busyness of life and the multitude of thy thoughts within me. Thy comforts delight my soul. Oh, to have our thoughts lifted at times above inferior things. And may this be one of those moments this evening when our thoughts are elevated, we're drawn to thee, drawn away from the things of this life, and our minds taken up wholly with thee. So do, Lord, work in our hearts. May our hearts be burning within us as we leave thy house this day. As we ask all these things, we pray for pardon and forgiveness. Do wash us in that precious blood, that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. As a group of poor sinners meet around thy table at the close of this service, oh, may thy presence be known and felt. Be present at our table, Lord. So do be with us, we pray, and pardon all that we ask amiss. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Not all the blood of peace. I'm sorry, I have to commence. 125.
with me to the second chapter, the Epistle to the Hebrews. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the opening part of the third verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2, the opening part of the third verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This word comes extremely close, for it doesn't say, how shall we escape if we reject so great a salvation? It says, if we neglect. Paul is urging these Hebrews to be diligent. They were searching the scriptures, and Paul, throughout this epistle, writing to his fellow brethren, arms himself with the word of God, and we read it, didn't we? The many points he raises from the Old Testament in warning them and guiding them concerning this glorious salvation, and who this glorious man was. But beloved friends, you and I have heard the gospel preached. Everyone in this chapel has just read, I hope you read it with me, these two chapters. You, most of you, I'm sure, are present each Lord's Day. And how much is really entering into our minds? And this may sound like a strange thing for a gospel standard minister to be saying, but this is not me, this is the word of God. There is warnings time and time again, and I will not be neglecting my calling and in bringing these things when led by the Spirit to bring them before you. It would be negligent of me to not make mention of these things. Our inability, due to our fall in sin, through the fall, Adam and Eve falling, is no excuse. No excuse at that great day. And I solemnly urge you, each one of you, to consider your latter end and what foundation you have, if any, and to take heed of these things. Paul writes it. He says, give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, you see, there are those, I am sure, because I know a little of Satan's trickery and deceit, where he will seek to take a doctrine of our inability and our utter fall and depravity and make it a ground for you to plead on. But friends, it isn't. It's not a way of escape. There's no escape route for a sinner, because he is unable by his very fall. That there's no escape route there. There is one and one only way of salvation, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, there's no other way. There's no other grounds You cannot come to that great day and plead any inability. It won't be an excuse. It's your condemnation and mine that we are unable to fulfill what God has set for us. It's to our condemnation. Not to excuse us. There's no rite of passage through that door. That's shut. In Ecclesiastes, the preacher writes it and states it at the very end. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's it. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh, then, may none of us be found, may none of you here be found seeking a way of escape through a truth, and it is a truth, that you are unable by nature. Let none of you be found making an excuse that because it's fatalism, and it's a deadly sin to say, well, if I'm saved, I'm saved, and if I'm not, I'm not. Beloved friends, that's not the language. It's not the language that of a living soul. It's the language of a dead soul. It's the language of a soul that's caught up in Satan's deceits. This neglect, Paul warns of it, and others warn of it. Peter, writing in his epistle, there's that urging, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, it doesn't mean that they're only just saved. It doesn't mean that their salvation is any way precarious or fragile in any way. It doesn't mean that at all. If the righteous scarcely be saved, because it's not on every street corner. It's not a universal salvation. It's sought out diligently. It's given as a gift of God. There's no free offering to mankind. It's a remnant, the people of God. Oh, but, you know, are you exercised? I can't give you this exercise. I'm not here this evening to do that. And I couldn't if I could. If I would desire it, I couldn't. But this gracious exercise. Am I right? Am I ready? This salvation that's preached of for a remnant. You know, you can't just be fatalistic and, well, if I'm in that remnant, I am, and if I'm not, I'm not. It's all of grace and I can't do anything. That is not the spirit of a soul that's quickened. Quickened souls will cry out in need. The election, and they're standing in election, and I speak from experience because it didn't cross my mind. My only thought, when the Lord brought me to my knees, and I can take you to the place where it was, my only thought was, let there be room for me. I couldn't bear the thought that there wasn't. And it wasn't, I didn't think of anything past that. I must have Christ. It's Jesus save me, or I die. That's the breathings of a living soul. But these warnings, friends, and if the righteous, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? You know, that's a solemn point, isn't it? I can't promise this evening that you'll enjoy the sermon this evening. But friends, it's so weighing upon me this need. Oh, that the Lord would open the blind eyes. Because you are sitting in his house and you hear the word of God read and preached, and you and I must give an account. This is the solemn point. Take heed what ye hear. You are to give an account of those times that you sat through the preaching of the word. And you won't be able to say, well, Lord, thou didn't bless me. There won't be any finger pointing there. Friends, may the Lord awaken you. May there be that stirring up of your nest. May this uncomfortable word prick your heart. May the preaching enter in as those arrows that pierce the heart, that are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, and they fall under them. Because this should be the effect of it. Not finger-pointing and pointing to all your inability. Oh, but surely this, when viewed your utter wretchedness and inability to fulfil what God requires in his law, oh, to fall at his feet, repentant, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that's what we long to see, friends. Sinners at his feet, wrought upon by the Spirit in conviction of sin, taking heed to those warnings, seeing their own inability by nature, but pleading for mercy. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You see, friends, it comes right into this chapel this evening, because those outside that are going about the pleasures of sin for a season are rejecting. But this comes right close to you and I, and it speaks of neglecting. What is neglect? What does it mean? It means you abandon things. You have no regard for them. You don't take heed to any of it. It doesn't have any effect on you. There's a leaving. It speaks of a slothfulness. It speaks of this slothful spirit, a slumbering. In the Proverbs we have this word: the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And how often we read, don't we, of slothfulness and of diligence. And this is a solemn point. Friends, may you be able to examine your own heart. Search me, O Lord, and try my ways. You know, examine your heart. How you come into the house of God. Why are you here this evening? You know, somebody who's diligent will not come in a haphazard way. Somebody whose heart is made diligent by the Holy Spirit will have thought about this service this evening, this afternoon. They were praying as they came into chapel, coming up to the house of God, seeking for something, looking for something. They're diligent. They hear that this is the way the Lord meets with his people. Well, we know he meets in other outside of these walls, but surely in the preaching of the word we've seen it, haven't we? Is this place not the house of God? Have souls not been blessed in this cause in years gone by? Then do you come up with a heart longing to be numbered among them? Oh, let me be that one this evening that goes home with something. May I not go home empty again, disappointed again? Is your heart coming to the house of God? Is there an expectation in there? To hear the word of God. What will the Lord say? What will he speak this evening? Is there an anticipation? There's a loving encouragement in the word of God. For the Lord, he said, I will yet for this be inquired of. You know, you're not coming on any flimsy ground when you come expecting to receive something. For he has said, I will yet for this be inquired of. It's a promise. Oh, wonderful if you're enabled by the grace of God to take a promise from his word. Say, Lord, thou hast said that thou wilt feed the hungry, that thou wilt regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer, that thou wilt feed thy people with the bread of life. Lord, thou hast said that thou wilt yet for this be inquired of by the household of Israel, to do it for them. To do it for them. To break their hearts, their hard hearts. He's promised to give a heart made soft, to take away that stony heart out of their flesh and to give them a soft heart. And our gracious and merciful Lord God is... He says, I'll be inquired of. A new heart also will I give you. Is this it? He's saying, this word, it's condemned me this evening. To this point in time, I've neglected. Oh, what is to become of me? How have I neglected? Why have I neglected? Well, what's this then, this word neglect? It's... abandoning, it's forsaking, it's not taking heed. All these things speak of that hard, stony ground, don't they, that the Lord Jesus spoke of. All these things, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed was sown, but it was bouncing out, bouncing off, wasn't penetrating. The ground was hard. And friends, surely that teaching of the Lord Jesus was for us to examine our hearts. Why is it that you feel maybe this evening dry and barren? Why is it this evening that you feel this word neglect is pressing on you? Why is it you've not you feel that you're not what you should be, and you're not right, and you're not ready? It's here that's wrong, isn't it? Inside my heart. It's that stony ground. It's that hard ground. Then, Lord, what can a sinner do? Oh, for surely diligent souls must do something. Neglecting souls have this hard heart. Well, then what does a diligent soul, what's his heart look like? Well, it's that good ground, isn't it? Where the seed enters in. You say, well, you're not going to tell me this evening that I can give myself that. No, you can't. But he will be inquired of. Oh, those who feel their hard hearts. Oh, the loving invitation to bring it to his feet, to lay it at his feet. Lord, take away this hard heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. You say, that's it. That's what I want. That's what I need this evening. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn, and I will increase it, and lay no famine on you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, and you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. And all these things, he says, I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God. That's a thus saith the Lord God this evening for you. Oh, to take it home and pray for it. I will yet for this be inquired of by the household of the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Oh, that loving encouragement. You say that's the gospel. Well, that's the gospel according to Ezekiel, friends. The word of God is, oh, it's full of the glorious gospel. Paul hits the nail, doesn't he, this evening. Great, great salvation. But he has another word. You see, it's more than great. So great salvation. Oh, friends. You say, what kind of a heart must I have to be able to sit through the preaching of the gospel, this so great salvation? How hard must my heart be if some of that good seed doesn't enter, doesn't penetrate? Well, friends, there is your proof, isn't it? Those of you who feel to have been passed by your great sins. For they're great, aren't they? Great is our condemnation. When reading the word of God, we're great sinners. And that eternity, it's a tremendous sound. But how great must be the hardness of our hearts. How great must Satan's power be? You know, to stop your ears and mine. You know, I sat through 35 years, nearly 35 years of going to chapel every Lord's Day. Sat through sermon after sermon. Oh, but how powerful Satan is to stop the ear, deaf to every warning, blinded to every sign. I'm not pointing a finger at you this evening. You know, the Church of God isn't pointing a finger. We painfully feel it. Sinners, wretched and undone. Oh, then, plead for that work of the Holy Spirit. You know, he will be inquired of. He's promised to answer prayer. He said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And there, friends, is the vital thing, the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, pray for that good gift. May I be found a living soul. May I be found quickened by thy Spirit. May I know this good gift entering into my heart. May my ear be unstopped. May I heed the warning. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, the Lord Jesus says this. He says, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It's a solemn point. We're the first Lord's Day in July. Somebody who's a mathematician would tell me how many Sundays there have been this year so far. How many sermons that has been, morning and evening, so far this year. How much of it is treasured up in your heart and mine? You know, it's a solemn point, isn't it? The Lord Jesus says, blessed are they that hear the word of God, doesn't end there, and keep it. You know, I often feel myself to be like that sieve or a watering can with lots of holes, your leaky vessel. You know, the Lord, you sit through a sermon, you sit through the Lord's, and there's your heart goes out a little while you're hearing and while you're in the house, and then it's not long, is it, after? You know, sometimes it may remain with me for a day or two, but then it seems to drift away. You see, there's negligence, isn't there? Surely, on my part. If you analyse it, you know, if you were going to hear a conference or work, you had to hear a speaker. You were there for your learning and for your instruction. You'd hear the word, and you'd learn from it, and you'd endeavour to keep it. And you'd hope to it remain with you, certainly, for a good time afterward. But how can we then come into the house of God, and be so unconcerned? We're not dealing with business here. We're not dealing with monetary things. We're not dealing with day-to-day things. We're dealing with serious things. Beloved friends, this is our eternal souls. We each are living souls. We have a soul that will never die. Make no mistake of that. It's not just the righteous that live in heaven, but there's no annihilation of the souls in hell. They live forever in hell. Oh, friends, and this negligence. Oh, Lord, help me. You know, as you leave at the close of the service, oh, to be found praying the Lord would treasure up the word in your heart. You know, praying before the sermon that something may enter in, a word with power. You know, praying in the pew that the word may enter in and remain in your heart. Pleading with the Lord that he'll give you something that remains for the week ahead. Something to beat out like Ruth. She left Boaz, didn't she, with a worthy portion. Something to beat out in the days ahead. Something to feed on. Something to live on. Oh, but more than that, something that you can die on. Something good. Something done in his holy name. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Oh Lord, help me to keep it close to my heart. Lord, implant it in, burn it, sear my heart with that hot iron. May it be sealed into my heart as that word that I can live on and I can die on. This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and no sign shall be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man to this generation. And what effect did Jonah's preaching have? When he went eventually? Well, there was a great turning, wasn't there? There was a repentance and a turning unto the Lord. And the Lord stayed his hand. And the Lord had mercy on them. And there was a confession of sin. And then they put on sackcloth and ashes from the king downwards. There was no negligence there. You know, if you're looking at it, you want an example of those diligent souls. Wasn't it those Ninevites? You know, he began preaching as he entered that great city. Great, great city. The effect of the preaching. Diligent souls, heeding the word of God. And much was done in the name of God through that. Oh, and there's a sign. And the Queen of the South. Well, in our Sunday school this afternoon, we spoke of the Queen of Sheba. This is that Queen of the South. Shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. Why? Why? For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You see, she was diligent. She wasn't negligent. She heard of the fame of Solomon, and she wasn't satisfied with just hearing it. She wanted to experience it as she ventured forth. There, beloved friends, an example for us. And a beholder, a greater than Solomon, is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Oh, friends, may there be that gracious exercise within our hearts to give diligence to make our calling and our election sure. And maybe that striving to enter in at the strait gate. Because you will feel the opposition. Those of you whose hearts are longing to be on that straight and narrow way, you're to strive for it. You know, you're in a conflict. You can't escape from it. You know that there's a tussle. There's a warfare to be had. And you'll experience the struggle. You'll feel the pull of the world. Pharaoh didn't let free the Israelites at the first plague, 10 plagues, and then he set free, let go those Israelites. Friends, isn't that the child of God and the tussle, the pull of the world, and you just feel to be making a little headway. Satan reaches out and snatches you back. Oh, you feel that pull of the world again. You feel that besetting sin ensnare you again. There's that tussle. Oh, but may you, in all your tussling, in all your wrestling, go to him. Oh, be found looking unto Jesus. There's your help. There's your strength. There's your safety. There's everything there. Everything a soul needs is found in him. These ones who feel to be negligent, beloved friends, there's the answer in him. Look how diligently he went about his father's business. Oh, friends. The steadfastness. He set his face steadfast toward Jerusalem. Nothing would hinder him. Nothing would sway him. You know, when you read that prayer in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, he prays to his Father. The Lord Jesus says, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. But there was Gethsemane. There was the judgment hall. There was Calvary. Still, naturally speaking, to walk through. I have finished the work. Ah, there's a resolve. Ah, there is the resolve, friends. There's obedience. Does it not shine into your heart like a light? You say, my obedience, it's so weak, so frail, I'm so fearful, I'm so unable. But he is able. He's a willing and he's an able saviour of his people. How shall we escape if we neglect? So let us just consider for a few moments so great salvation. For friends, what a greatness there is. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour. Friends, do pray for this revelation of him. If the Lord shone a little of that revelation in your heart this night, you wouldn't be negligent. It would all flow, your heart would go out after him. You'd be burning for him. Your zeal would be on fire. You'd be made willing to take up the cross and follow him. All obstacles are removed when a sinner's granted a glimpse of the Saviour. But we see Jesus. You see him, this almighty God who created all things, who was present with the Father at creation, made a little lower than the angels. That will break your heart. Why was he made lower than the angels? Why did he humble himself and make himself of no reputation to bring about so great a salvation? For greatly fallen sinners were in need of salvation. His people were ruined in sin, and his love was so great that nothing would separate him eternally from them. And so he willingly made himself like unto his brethren in all points except one. And it's this: no sin in him. No sin in him. The sins that he bore at Gethsemane were his people's. He was their great sin offering, that sin bearer, the scapegoat, that substitute, willingly made himself of no reputation, made a little lower than the angels. What for? For the suffering of death. God cannot die. God cannot bleed. Godhead cannot die and cannot bleed. The mystery. This great, great salvation. He took upon him the form of a servant. In that union, mystical union. But he was a real man, made under the law. Made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, his dear people, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, how great a grace this was, the grace of God, that spared not his only begotten Son, the grace of God should taste death for every man. I'm sure you know what that means, every man. Everyone in that book of life. Every type. You see, it's a great sheet, this at the four corners. There's creeping things. Spiritually, we're talking about. It's people from all walks of life. People, all different characters. All different dispositions. All tongues, from all ages. Men, women, boys, girls. Different statures in society. The every man, that he should taste death for every man. Ah, so great. So great a salvation. Surely, is there a soul here this evening who says, well, I'm outside of that. I'm outside of that. But the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You outside of that promise? Are you outside of that? That a soul who lives to feel his need is welcome? Satan telling you you're not welcome because you're outside of the boundary of his love. You don't fall into a category. But friends, the category for this so great a salvation is what? To be a sinner and to feel it and to need a saviour. Oh, to be found in your heart needing that hiding place. What a mercy. What a sign this evening. What a token that is, friends. If you feel, you sit here tonight and you say, I feel a need of a hiding place. You know, a soul that can sing our first hymn 24, well, that's not a negligent soul. That's a soul that's seeking diligently. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. That's a living soul. Oh, how many of you were singing that hymn as we started our service? From the heart. Oh, that's my desire. Lord, speak to me. Say to my soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, remember me with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Oh, the promises in God's word. Oh, Lord, make me one of these diligent seekers. You know, true seekers will be finders. Those not frightened in by the natural preaching or exercised by those influencing them around them, but hearts made soft, those with their eyes open to see the danger, seeing the need of escape, looking for that way of escape, pleading that the Lord would guide them, the Holy Spirit, that silent work. He doesn't speak of himself. You won't perceive him working in your heart. Only looking back will you see it. If you're tracing it out tonight, you can't perceive his work at first. It's looking back you see it. But he takes of the things of Jesus and he reveals them unto you. He makes your affections go out after the Lord Jesus. The Lord becomes precious to you. There's a love to his people, a love to his word. There's a drawing power and influence over your life. Oh, then, plead for that work to appear. Plead that he'll have mercy upon you. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He is to reconcile. He's that way, that dazed man we read of. He's that go-between. He has one hand on his Father's throne, and he has one hand on the sinner. And you know, friends, this is a wonderful thing. If the Lord has answered your prayer, you've had your prayer answered through the Lord Jesus. When you pray, those things you pray for, and this is where we should be careful of what we pray for. But when we pray, we're asking the Lord Jesus to take that case from us and to represent us to his Father. You're asking him to take your trouble, your trial, your perplexity, your issue, that thing that's concerning you, and plead it at his Father's throne. And if you've received an answer, you've received it through the Lord Jesus. Oh, whatever it was, may you be sweetly encouraged to pray on and to try what your poor prayers can do. And may you give him no rest for true seeking souls, diligent souls will give him no rest. They can't. Why? It's give me Christ or else I die. They can't be satisfied with anything short. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What's concerning you this evening? So mountains are this of that, and I've the other. It is life itself clouding out the one thing needful. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. I know there are those with great mountains and difficulties and troubles, and I'm in no way limiting them or dismissing them in any way. But friends, there's one great trouble. Every other trouble will go away one day. There's an end to it all. There's one thing that remains, and that's your soul and mine. One thing is needful. Be careful for nothing. Why? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £609,
for which we're sincerely thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Warren next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart. Sinner, wipe away thy tears. 956.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.